Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is tips, tricks, and best practices for managing WebSphere environments with IBM Rational Automation Framework. Today's presenter is Anujay Bidla. Anujay is currently working as the Client Technical Specialist for Rational Automation Framework. He previously worked for the WebSphere Application Server Level 2 support team. He spent 8 years in various system administrator roles in the WebSphere Application Server space, which gives him real-world WAS administrator support, problem resolution, and client interaction experience. Anujay is a subject matter expert on WebSphere security infrastructure. He wrote various technical notes on WebSphere configuration and deployment support for IBM clients. At this point in time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Anujay.
Thank you, Joseph, and good morning. Welcome, everyone, to today's presentation. We'll be discussing some of the best practices and managing WebSphere environment using our new Rational Automation Framework. And with that said, Joseph, can we move on to the next slide, please? Thank you. So today's agenda, we'll be briefly discussing about a high-level overview of Rational Automation Framework. Earlier, it was named as RAFW, Rational Automation Framework for WebSphere. We dropped W, you know, to incorporate all other non-IBM application server or other middleware available, actually. And we'll go over the demonstration scenario for automating the installation of the whole WebSphere topology or a cell environment. And we'll basically discuss two ways we can deploy an application, like just deploying an application to a WebSphere application server. Or we'll also show you the dev and op scenario where you build out your application in a build tool and deploy your application using RAS to the target runtime of your environment. And we will be able to promote the configuration across different environments of WebSphere from dev QA to pre-prod and prod. And we will also show you, you can comparison across different WebSphere environment, actually, so we can compare the configuration with the Rational Automation Framework. So that's pretty much today's agenda, and if time permits, I'll be able to show some of the integration capability of Rational Automation Framework with the currently available IBM workload deployer, but if that time permits, actually. So that's today's agenda. So can we move on to the next slide, please? Thank you. So we are on slide number 3, which basically talks about a very high-level introduction of Rational Automation Framework. Rational Automation Framework is nothing but a customizable and extensible framework that provides accurate, reliable, and repeatable automation tasks for the middleware environment, which includes WebSphere Application Server, Portal, Process Server, WSRR, and WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus, and even also includes WebLogic, JBoss, and WebSphere MQ and Message Broker. So any configuration management automation or application deployment with regards to WebSphere environment or product installation, let's say if you want to create a topology of WebSphere environment with DMGR, multiple nodes, with including IHS, or you want to just install Portal, doing automation of the Portal server, you can basically, out of the box, you can install or do the whole automation of your infrastructure, build out the WebSphere infrastructure, and deploy the automated deployment of automation. So the whole real core strength of Rational Automation Framework is once you've created your templates for all your automation, you can accurately, reliably, and consistently apply those automation tasks each and every time. I mean, once you perfected, or if you have a golden topology and or golden topology or a configuration applied, you can basically take a snapshot of that golden topology and reuse it to recreate or clone the environment for different subsphere environment, actually. So that's pretty much the core strength of Rational Automation Framework. I know some of the challenges we face today as a WebSphere admin in a client, or most of our clients do, and in WebSphere admins do, is spend most of the time doing the repetitive tasks or admin doing the job, actually. If you have created the template or the whole environment automated in an automated fashion, you can basically reuse those and just, you know, on a push of a button, you can automate the whole WebSphere infrastructure and the configuration part. So with that said, let's move on to next slide, please. So the whole what goes into Rational Automation Framework, what's RAF, is you can automate tasks, schedule tasks, do a notification, email notification, and do auditability. You can track who executed the jobs and what's the user, and you can detail and what was the who was the user and who administrated all the auditability and traceability. And you can do the role-based security with the automation framework. And also, this ties up with the WebSphere stack of product, which I just mentioned, with the WAS, IHS, Portal, Process Server, REST-E, and WVE. And also, it also integrates seamlessly with WebSphere Cloudbus appliance or the new IWD, IBM Workload Deployer. So out of the box, the Rational Automation Framework provides pre-built, pre-configured libraries, which we can automate your WebSphere environment. The idea here is you don't have to write any custom scripts, actually. Rational Automation provides those scripts so that you can automate, and there are actions available part of the library where you can just call an action. Let's say if you want to install or configure security or JDBC provider, there is an action called WAS Common Configure, JDBC, and then it configures it. That's all you need to call. So these are the, like, 900-plus commonly used tasks or actions available for the WebSphere family of products. And it also have environment generation where you can read the of existing WebSphere configuration. You can connect to the WebSphere environment and capture the configuration, store it in the file structure or on the SCM. And you can reuse, reapply to other environments, actually. So it comes with the predefined automation library. The idea here is you don't have to write any custom script, but if you have a custom script available, we can also make use of those your custom scripts, actually. And there is extensive help information available for all the actions which we use in a day-to-day basis for administrating WebSphere. Can we move on to next slide, please? Okay, we are on slide number 5, which basically just highlights the automation target, what we support as a product on a different platform, and the types of action available. These are the versions of WebSphere Application Server 6.0.6.1.7.0, IHS 6.0.6.1.7.0, Portal 6.0.6.1 and 6.1.5, Process Server is 6.2, and some of the actions are you can do install, configure, and deploy, but except with the exception on ZOS, we don't install products on ZOS. We can configure and deploy, but we do support on AIX, HPUX, Linux, Solaris, and Windows, and Xe Linux. We pretty much cover most of the operating systems. So that's about the automation target and the version supported for the WebSphere stack of products. Can we move on to next slide, please, slide number 6? Okay, this slide talks about the give a high-level architecture of Vaxxon Automation Framework. Basically, it's a centralized framework server, has a dependency of a DB2 or a database, not a DB2. You can use your existing database as Oracle MySQL Server or SQL Server DB2 or any other existing database which supports that. And basically, you can connect to any physical environment of which your website is running on, or if website is running on any virtual environment or a cloud environment, you can connect RAS to any of the available environment, and you can pretty much do automation for all the environment. It doesn't matter if it's a physical, virtual, or a cloud environment. Also, it provides connecting to the framework server using the SUI interface. We have a web-based interface management console. You can connect to it. We also have the new Eclipse-based rich client UI, where you can connect to your framework server from your workstation or desktop and perform most of the administration tasks. So the underlying engine within RAS is, you might be familiar with BuildForge. So that is, BuildForge is the underlying engine, but on top of BuildForge, RAS sits on top and does the automation and orchestration layer of automation. So that's the high-level architecture of RAS and how you can leverage that in your physical or virtual environment. And it can also integrate to any existing source control management tool, as any SCM or any build tool. So you can store your configuration repository onto SCM, like a golden configuration or a time-based configuration. You can reuse, reapply to the existing SubSphere environment. And it also, you can store, if you have a national asset manager, you can store the application or infrastructure artifacts in the asset manager, and you can basically call any of these artifacts and reuse it in the application infrastructure environment. So we do support a huge variety of platforms. I just mentioned earlier on the previous slide, Windows, Linux, Unix, ZOS, and iPyOS. On ZOS, we just have to have an agent need to be running on a target ZOS environment to be able to connect to the sphere environment. That's the only caveat on a ZOS. But on a distributed platform, you don't need an agent, actually, to be able to connect to the runtime environment. We do in a very agent-led fashion. So I'll talk about that agent, remote agent connection in a bit, actually, on my next slide. Can we move on to the next slide, please? So we are on slide number 7. There are different modes which RAS, you can execute any job in Rational Automation Framework. The modes available are execute mode, compare mode, augment, promote, and preview. So import mode is basically pulling up your configuration from the sphere environment into RAS, Rational Automation Framework server repository. Import mode is nothing but you can take a snapshot of your existing configuration, and then you can store it on the file structure or in SCM and reuse or reapply. And execute mode is nothing but you can, while running the job or any kind of automation task, you run the job in an execute mode that connects to the target runtime environment and execute any automation job. Compare mode, we have a mode called compare, and this mode basically allows you to compare the configuration against the target runtime environment and what's stored in the repository. This compare feature is different from the cell-to-cell comparison across different cells, but this comparison mode is just we are doing what's stored in the repository and what's running in the actual RAS live environment. And argument mode is nothing but if there is not there is no object available or in an XML file, then you can create that object on the fly and add any additional parameters which is required for the configuration and run that job in argument mode. And next is promote. Promote mode is basically you can move the configuration across one environment to another environment, and that promote mode is only operable on the framework server itself, actually. So let's say we have a dev environment and a QA environment, and you want to promote the configuration from one environment to another environment, you use a promote mode. And last mode is preview mode. Preview mode is basically before running any automation task, if you just want to mark the task, we run the job in a preview mode. That's basically to check if all the action, all the steps, part of the automation plan runs as we need it. And if we basically just to validate if the task we created or the task we are automating are good enough, actually. So that's RAF mode in a nutshell, and I'll basically show the list of modes available when we do the demo. Can we move on to next slide, please? So RAF connection to WebSphere. This is what I was talking to you earlier. We connect to WebSphere environment in a agentless fashion, so we don't use any agent except on a ZOS environment. So we use a technology called remote execution and access, which basically connects to the WebSphere environment under the covers, and it's owned by Tivoli. But all of your passwords and all those are encrypted using the 128-bit encryption, and basically these are all secure. We make a secure SSH connection to the native WebSphere environment, or the box where WebSphere is running, and connects to the WebSphere environment by providing the username and password, makes an agentless connection. So that's connecting to WebSphere environment in an agentless fashion. Let's move on to next slide, please. Slide number 9. This is a slide which talks about the integration between IBM Workload Deployment and RAF. So IWD or WCA, you can seamlessly connect to your RAF, Rational Automation Framework, using the script package. Basically, this gives a very high-level scenario where you basically upload the RAF script package in step number 1 and upload to the IWD appliance. And once you create your patterns or the topology using the IWD, you have to basically drag and drop the RAF script package onto your pattern and dispense or deploy your pattern onto the cloud environment. And once, that is step number 3, once you deploy your pattern to the cloud environment, and once the virtual machine initializes, and once you see the OPUS for e-business for your application server or a deployment manager, and then RAFW script package kicks off and calls RAF automation plan. That is step number 4. And if there are any associated automation plan with IWD script package, that calls back again the IWD pattern, which is created by IWD, and does the automation in step number 5. I can show you this scenario again in a live or in a demo environment where it will be pretty simple where what we do. It's a very seamless integration with IWD. So the idea here is if you are using IWD, build out your infrastructure with IWD, create your topology with IWD, and RAF does all the configuration and deployment of your WebSphere infrastructure. Can we move on to the next slide? Okay, we are on slide number 10. This is I was talking to you about the extensibility feature of RAF. Like in my first slide, I was talking to you, RAF is a customizable and extensible framework. Customizable in the sense you can use your existing scripts, which is available. If not, you can use the out-of-the-box RAF script, RAF available automation. And with the extensibility, we have a partner called MedVision, which provides the extensions to RAF, and those extensions can do the automation for WebSphere connectivity, which includes MQ6 and 7, and also do WebSphere Message Broker version 7, and extension for Oracle WebLogic Application Server 9, 10, and 11, and extension for JBoss Application Server 5 and 6. So pretty much what we do for the installation, configuration, and application deployment with WebSphere, we also can do with the non-WebSphere middleware environment or non-IBM WebSphere, non-IBM middleware environment. So that's the whole idea. So you need to have, in case if you are planning to use the extension, then you have to have the MedVision extension provided by our premium partner, MedVision. Moving on to next slide. This is just to give a high level, a kind of product evolution, how RAF evolved or RAF has evolved over the years. RAF first released in May 2009 with the product version 7.1.1. After that, it's been growing and evolving. Every quarter, we are releasing some new features and fixing some fix packs, fixing defects, and doing some more enhancement. So in the last quarter, end of last quarter, we released RAF 3.0, which is the newer version. We dropped the W because we are also incorporating other non-IBM middleware products, so we made it more generic automation framework, not just restricted to WebSphere. And it's continuing to evolve, and we have all added a new feature, added a new Eclipse UI with automation framework, which provides drag and drop capability, and also you can you don't have to create, you don't have to write any commands. The commands are auto generated with the Fashion Automation Eclipse client, actually. Next slide, please. Okay, so that's pretty much the very high level overview of Fashion Automation Framework. If you have any question, we can address that in the Q&A session, but let me show you a brief demo of the scenario we discussed about connecting or doing a configuration of the environment and deploying an application, and also showing the comparison configuration drift examples. So let me share my desktop with you all. Hope you can see my screen. So right now on the screen, what you're seeing is the new Eclipse UI, which we call Rational Automation Framework Client, and this can be installed onto any workstation. So this is available on a Windows or a Linux platform, and the framework server can be installed on any distributed or a ZOS distributed environment. So right now, just to give, there are two user perspectives available for the client, Eclipse client, which is configuration, and there is a automation user perspective. So in the configuration user perspective, we see a configuration explorer on the left-hand side, and there is a configuration workspace on the left bottom corner. The idea here is if you have used any Eclipse interface or any Eclipse client, it connects to the same, in the same fashion as any RAD or Rational Team Consort or any Eclipse-based tool. So you provide the label name and host name of the RAF framework server and username password, and you basically, this is how I connected to my framework server, by giving the rafflab.austin.ibm.com and the user ID password. And if you test the connection, the server is validated, basically, which means it is connected. And I have a two environment here in my framework server or my target runtime environment. I have a WAS 7 base dev environment, and I have another environment called WAS 7 self stage environment, which is ND with two clusters and two nodes. And the base is just one node with IHSS server. So here you can view the topology of your WebSphere environment. And there is basically we have so what I'm trying to show you is, and this is, so you can connect to the WebSphere environment using the environment generation wizard, and environment generation wizard you can access. Give me one sec. Let me connect it again. Here it is. So if you click right-click on the RAF server and you click on the Create Configuration Environment, and basically it pops up with the Environment Generation Wizard, which basically lets you create a new WebSphere cell environment where you can create the whole topology, define the topology, and it will build out the new WebSphere environment for you. And there are a couple of other steps you need to do after you create define the topology, which we will show you in a demo pretty quickly. And there is another option available called read an existing cell configuration, which means if you already have a WebSphere environment installed and if you want to read that existing configuration and want to automate some of the tasks or the jobs, you can do that. And all you have to do is basically provide the environment name and environment name, host name, and user ID password, and the host name. And you can validate basically that machine or the RAF server is connected to the WebSphere target runtime environment. And you can give the profile directory and the WebSphere admin security, and that's how you can be able to connect to the WebSphere environment. This is just to give you how you can read an existing environment or you can create a new environment with that. So after you create that, you have to import the configuration. So I imported the configuration in these two examples with the base and the ND, and I have also dragged and dropped this configuration here onto my workspace. You can drag and drop. I pre-populated that with that just to save some time. And so whatever configuration we captured or did a snapshot of the configuration, which also shows in here with regards to the cell. And let's say if you want to do a comparison of this environment, you can click on the two environments here with the name. And let's say I picked up this one and the base cell. And if you want to do a comparison, you right-click on it and do compare with and compare with each other. So it loads up in the list of files. This is the cell-to-cell comparison. And this loads up in the what's different in the files, and it will be basically showed up here, actually. So if you click the JDBC resource or your data source configuration or the provider configuration, it lists out and highlights this in the it runs in the compare option and do a file-to-file comparison across, and you can basically see, and it also does the color coding, so you'll know what's different between two environments, actually. And another thing is, let's say if you want to move across this environment, like if you want to move this configuration from the base environment to the cell environment, there is an option from copy from left to right. You can do a copy of the configuration. And if you don't want to copy the whole configuration, if you just want to do a subset of it or just part of it, then you can do the copy current change from left to right, which means if you highlighted something and if you want to copy that, you can do that too, actually. So that in that way, you can copy the configuration from one environment to another environment, and that's how you can do it. let's say if you don't want to do the whole cell-to-cell wide comparison, if you want to do one file, basically one configuration to another configuration, I just choose the security configuration, and you can do the same thing. So you can compare the across cell configuration. Base or MD, it doesn't matter. But you can, if, let's say if you already have another ND environment, you can do the same configuration in the same fashion, actually. So this is about the configuration. And if I want to show you, let's say if you want to, I have just opened a variable.xml, which is nothing but a WebSphere variable configuration on my base environment. And if I want to make any change here, I can do the change in the design template with my configuration for the variable. And if you want to add another variable, you can add a variable too, actually. Or if you remove, you can remove the variable. And another thing is, this is the design template we are seeing. You can also view the XML file, what's being captured in the just a plain XML. So that's basically the Configuration Explorer and the Configuration User perspective. And there is another perspective we have is automation. With regards to automation, what we can, we, let's say if you already created an auto, we have an automation plan. An automation plan is nothing but a series of steps which you might have created to be able to deploy or configure or install a web environment. And I have basically an automation plan. Of previously we used to call as a project. Project is nothing but a series of steps. So slightly we renamed the project piece part of the as automation plan, which is also some of the existing product available with like IWD. So I have a application deploy and start. So I've created two steps in the project or in the automation plan, which basically does the automation for deploying the application and starting the application. So it is, you can run, these are the modes which I was talking to you earlier. You can run the mode in an execute mode, and the command is auto-generated, so you don't have to write the command. And let's say if you want to do add some more action to this, let's say after you deploy the application and start the application, if you want to generate the plugin, if you type in generate the virtual host, you can just click and add here, and you will see that the command is auto-generated for generating the virtual host. The same with the, if you want to do something else like propagating plugin or generating plugin and propagating plugin or restarting your web server, you can also add those stuff. I have an example. I can, I'll show it to you in a minute. So same fashion, you can view the topology from here. That's the same topology, and it also shows you the help available on the bottom corner where you can see the list of action available. This is the, these are the action, and also gives you a description of what you can do with this action. This action talks about creating the J2C connection factory, and there are also, let's see if you want to do another listing security. Just an example, I mean, security doesn't have to be part of the application deployment, but in case if you want to do a security, so these are the list of actions available for security, which you can add your, you can do the SSL certificate, request certificate, manage your certificates, do a JAS login, configure local user repository, user registry, or LDAP, or SSL, or single sign-on, or SAI, or any security-related aspect. Or there is another composite action available, security equal to all, which does, this is the one which does the security configuration, including all the security configurations. So if you just wanted to drill down and just do some part of it, you can just do that one too. So that's basically the automation tasks which are available, and these are some of the. Let me show you our another interface. We have a web interface as well. So this right now, if you're watching the screen here, we have a web interface called Management Console available, and that's the RAC tab. It's basically the same thing from the web interface to create a new web cell environment, read an existing cell environment. And on the console, these are the list of projects I created. And let's say this is an example I was showing it to you. Before, if you already have an environment created, a WebSphere environment, and you are connecting to it, and you just wanted to define all your resource configuration before you deploy the app. Let's say if you want to check the server status of DM, deployment manager, configure JDBC provider, data source, and configure security at one go and stop. And if you want all those series of steps, what you do after configuring security or configuring any resource, you can define here as a template and deploying the application, starting the application, generating IHS plugin, propagating plugin, and recycling your web server. These are series of steps are part of the project we created. And you can see the actions here. Let's say if you're deploying the app, so a command line will show up. This is basically the action we are calling was common deploy install app. And this is a generic action. And so the idea here is you don't have to create your script, and this is a generic environment variable we are giving for the environment name and cell name, and this is how we are calling the deploying the application, and we give the app name, and we deploy the app. In the same fashion, if we are configuring enabling security, I'm calling an action call, was common configure security all, and that basically configures the security and stop and start cell. And there is an action, and this is the library which is available. There is an inline library which is available for stopping the cell, and you associate that with the stop cell, and basically it stops the whole cell environment. So if you click on the start project, and this is the list of options or the how your environment variables which are available for your target environment, which is basically your host name, node name, where we are running it, and the cluster name, list number of nodes, IHS server node, cell name, node name, all this information. And if you try to run it, so these are the list of actions we can execute this step. And if you don't want any of the steps to be executed part of your deployment, you can uncheck that. Let's say if you don't want security to be enabled, if you just wanted to do a configure cell scope and configure JDBC provider data source before running your application or before installing your application, you can just uncheck that and deploy the application and wanted to do a generate IHS plugin and you wanted to just do execute, and it will be executed in the same fashion. So that was the example of how you can basically manage your configuration or deployment or automate the configuration deployment. And let me show you an example here. So this is another scenario what I'll be showing you. In the interest of time, I recorded a small demo. I can quickly go through the demo. And this demo talks about basically building out a new WebSphere environment, installing WAS ND 7.0, installing IHS 7.0 and with the plugin, and upgrading WAS 7.0 with 6.13, SDK SR8, creating the deployment manager profile, app server profile, two app server node profile, configuring those nodes and enabling security, managing nodes for IHS, creating the server definition and creating cluster resource and generating the virtual host. This is all we're going to do with one inbuilt library which is available with RAF out of the box, so you don't have to create all the steps. it also available. We start with basically the environment generation. I was showing it to you by creating a NeuroSphere cell environment. And let me play this video, and if you have any question, we can I recorded this video just to, I don't want to walk you through the whole installation process because it will take a little time to install NDE and fix that. So we will fast forward that to just stick to, just probably cut short this to the 10 minutes where we should just show how you do it actually. So we start here with the environment generation wizard using the web interface, and I started with the creating new cell environment. And the way you do it, you define the basically the topology here by providing some of the options here, which is cell name, node name, host name, how many servers you want, how many clusters you want. If there is an IHS need to be installed, you want to give that option to. I'm giving you right now the cell name. You can create any cell, you can define any cell name, and this is the, I was showing you that this is how you can do with the portal, virtual enterprise edition, enterprise process server. This is how you can install. But right now, I just picked up the WebSphere application server cell with version 7.0. I'm including IHS with that. And with the one HTTP server node, it's not a standalone. It's an ND environment. And creating two nodes and one cluster of, I have to give the username, OS username, which will be installing WebSphere. So I'm giving Wog admin as the user who will be installing WebSphere. It can be root or non-root user, and also the administrative use OS group. This is I'm doing on a Windows machine, but you can same thing you can do on a Linux or any distributed platform. So here you are defining the deployment manager node name and deployment manager profile name and host name where you wanted to install your deployment manager. And this you can do the vertical cluster or a horizontal cluster. Basically, all you have to do, if it's a horizontal cluster, then you have to give the node name or host name of your node to be different other than the deployment manager host name. If it's a vertical cluster, you can, the deployment manager host name and the node name can be same, which is installing on the same box. In this case, I'm just installing on the same machine. So it's a vertical cluster with two nodes. And this is how you can define the deployment manager home and you can create a profile name. So this is just a one-time. You can create a template out of it, and you can reuse this template once you define the topology. So this is while creating the topology, all the options we are giving here. The starting port for deployment manager, you can leave as blank. If you leave that blank, that will be the default port will be used and incremented as we do in the this time of profile creation. So same thing with the node name here, installing onto my remote local machine, give my host name of my node, then the node name, profile name, same thing, starting port of the application server, since this is the app server, the server what we're creating and the node is starting port, you can give a the different ports if you want, or if you want to use as default, you can leave as blank and default ports will be created. So you have an option of creating, like this two nodes will be prompted with the different options, so you can do a remote install of remote node, and this is how you are creating the cluster. I gave a cluster name called Cluster 1. So the idea here is we are just, building out a new WebSphere topology with the cluster, with the infrastructure, with the cluster name and host name and all those things. And once we create the infrastructure, then we can do the configuration and deployment to the same fashion. So we're doing right now, I'm defining the IHS server or HTTP server installation directory. There is another option available called allow non-root installation. If yes or no, right now I'm just doing the root installation and, non-root installation and providing the plugin home directory. So the idea here is on in just one click of a button, start project, it will create your whole topology with ND, DMGR, couple of two nodes, create the cluster, upgrade it to the six stack level 17 SR 8, and once we define the topology, this is how we basically create the update. So it will create an environment tree and the framework server with all the options we have given here, and it will create a project with the project name or the environment name what we give, and it will create an inline library. And you can see the project is finished, and it will be generated with an inline library called WAS Common Configure Install. So this is the inline library WAS ND install library, which will be making use of that library to be able to install the whole topology. So I'm just showing you this is how the environment is generated, and showing you this is the steps we did have. And this is the project which got created, WAS 7 QA, QA cell. And with this project, there is an inline library called WAS 7 ND install. And if I click on the start project, and that's and run in an execute mode. And that's basically whatever we define part of the cell name, host name, node name, IHS server own name, this is all listed here on the start page or start project page. So these are the job steps which will be running. Let's say this library basically assumes that if you already have a ND environment or a node environment installed, then it will uninstall it. If you don't want to uninstall it, it will uninstall it and reinstall it. If you do not want to uninstall and reinstall, then you can just uncheck all the uninstall tabs or the options. You can just install with the WAS topology options. So I just executed the project, so now it will probably go through all the steps and basically do the stop the cluster, stop the node agent, if there is a node agent available. It's just making sure if there is an already, let's say, environment is there, it would build out from scratch, actually. So it did it, actually. It basically installed the WAS, VMGR, created two nodes, and federated those two nodes, and set up the DMGR profile, and created the clusters, and installed the IHS, upgraded it, and created the cluster, and generated the virtual host for those environments. So right now, I fast-forwarded basically all the installation part. I know it can be done so pretty quickly, but I made it pretty fast-forward. So the installation part is done, and you can verify here in the logs. You can see all the logs on the same interface that the CIBM WebSphere 7 web app server is where the ND environment is installed, and also upgraded 7.0.13, applied the SR8 six-pack. So here we are validating how it's also upgraded to the JDK SR8. This is an older version. I did an upgrade, but you can do the same, the latest available six-pack with the 19 or latest available SR or service release for JDK. So I just showed you earlier the WAS installation, and this is the IHS installation. In the same way I'm showing you here is the WAS, IHS is installed onto the default location, CIBM HTTP Server 7, and it also upgraded to the FixTax 13, and also installed plugin and the FixTax for the plugin too, actually. So this is the WAS Common Install Manage Profile. Is the action we are calling to be able to managing is like creating profiles and federating those profiles. Those two tasks, administrative tasks, is done by just simply calling one action, which is WAS Common Manage Profile. And you can see while federating this, this is how you do it from the command line option. If you're trying to add a node or federate a node, these are the options you see, like federating the nodes, exchanging the certificates, synchronizing the nodes, And you can see node 01 was successfully added to the QA cell. And you can see that successfully federated. So all the federation is taken by that action. So I'm just validating here that the steps we installed, we did execute that it finally passed all the steps. And just, again, I'm onto the box where I installed the WebSphere cell environment with DMGR with two nodes, node 01 and node 02, validating that all the binaries is installed onto the environment, onto the correct location. Right now, validating the plugin, where the plugin is installed, and again checking that the version info of the HTTP server described it, and I typed it again, that's with 17. And this is the manual step I did actually out of my WebSphere habit, but the same fashion you can call this action doing a version info or version info with the detailed maintenance, which will let you list out all the feature pack, all the fixed pack are applied actually. And again, doing the server status to check if the DMGR is started or not. Hopefully we'll see it. The same action can be also used in RAF steps. You can call that server status to check the status. So right now it's started. So I'm going to basically, once we build out the environment, I'll try to access the admin console and see, verify that everything is installed, and you can access the admin console. And this is how we built out the topology, WebSphere topology. And again, being a server status here, on the node, just to make sure that the clone 2 is started and the node is started. So right now I'm accessing, I also enable the security, which is out of the box, which is basically the federal repository, the same thing what we do with the ISMP installer or profile creation. And you can see here 7013 is installed, and going to system administration nodes, two nodes with IHS, or one more IHS node, and DMGR node, and it's all synced up. And going to servers and clusters, seeing that the cluster we define is created and started, cluster 1. And under cluster 1 or under application server, we'll see clone 1 and clone 2 as a server. So that's pretty much it, how we built out the whole environment and showed you how you can create the whole topology. And I just showed you this is the web server definition, created the web server definition, and started the web server 2. And application, since we didn't install the application, so there are no applications installed, so we can show the app installation part too. So that's how we built out our provision WebSphere topology here. So that's pretty much the, basically this scenario. What we did is, just to highlight, give you, this is what we did, install IHS ND, and everything, enable security, manage nodes for IHS, and create web server definition. So that was one our new, creating new WebSphere cell built out. Let me show you the integration with the IWD if we have. So right now, if you are familiar with the IBM Workload Deployer or WebSphere Cloudbus appliance, this is the interface. This is how you, it's an appliance, basically. This is what I was showing in one of the slides, how you want to integrate. So in order to integrate, basically all you have to do is go to the catalog piece and the script package and add the script package here, script name. I already added a script package called RAF script package. So I uploaded the script package, which I was showing it to you earlier on the pattern. And you can just create the pattern, actually. Once you create the pattern, I can show you how you can create a pattern here, but that's not the intent. Let's say WAS 7S. And click on the pencil tab to be able to create the topology. Drag and drop. Let's say if you want a node, 7017 on a Celeste machine, custom node. And if you want a deployment manager, you can drag and drop the deployment manager with the node. And let's say if you want to have an HTTP server, you can drag and drop the HTTP server. If you want a DB2 or an on-demand router, you can do that too. An administrative agent or anything you want to draw in, you can create your topology. But the idea here is I want to show that integration between IWD. And if you click on the script package, part of the pattern creation, that's we uploaded the script package. All you have to do is drag and drop the script package onto your pattern, onto your deployment manager, and that's how draft is integrated with the pattern, actually. So once, let's say, these are the variables you need to provide, RAF W server hostname, which is RAF lab.austin.ibin.com, user ID, password, automation plan name, environment name, and that's how you associate the pattern or integrate the RAF. That's pretty much the integration, how you can do with IWD and RAF, actually. So once you've done editing, you can basically click on this little cloud tab here and deploy or dispense or provision this pattern along with this RAFW script package. And what it does, basically, it will create the virtual environment, and then will kick off. It will, once the deployment manager is started and open, it shows open for e-business, and then the RAFW script package is kicked and call. It will auto-generate the environment for that, so that you don't have to go to manually do it. And if there is any automation plan associated with this pattern, that will also be auto-started, actually. So basically, that's how you associate it with the IWD and how you can integrate with IWD. So that's integration with IWD and RAF piece. And if we have some more time, I wanted to show another app deployment piece, which is a build and deploy scenario for dev and ops kind of environment. We are automating here is automating the building of application using our Rational Team Console, RTC. And you can use any build tool, but right now we are using the build tool as RTC and deploying the plans of WebSphere application on WebSphere using RAF, actually. So right now the idea here is we are using one Eclipse interface to be able to call the RTC build process and do a deployment using RAF onto target runtime environment. And this scenario is applicable for only dev and ops scenario. This may not be suitable for an operation team, but if development team is using it for building their application and checking out their application source code in the SCM, and you can call that application, you can basically grab that application from SCM and deploy that application onto target runtime environment. So with that, so let me start. I also recorded this video just to save some more time since we just have a very limited time. So let's start with that. So right now we are seeing an RTC build engine right now in the RTC view where you can build your application. So the application we are using is our sample application, plans by WebSphere, and I'm clicking on the build plan by WebSphere script or the application. That's how you are building the project. What it will do is it will compile and create the jars and the var files or the var module or jar module and the ear file. So you can see in the log file, it's compiled and make jar, make var, and it created the ear, and it placed the ear under the lib directory, and build is successful. So once we build the application in Rational Team Console or any other build tool, and I want to show you how we can grab that application and drag and drop onto the WebSphere cell topology in the application location. And this is the application for the plans of WebSphere application we built out. And right now we are in the configuration perspective with the RAF. And this is the RAF interface we are seeing right now. And basically the application got generated here called plans of WebSphere. And I am basically copying that ES file from my build tool or from my SCM. If the application is stored in the SCM, you can just copy that and change the perspective from work item to the configuration, which is a RAS perspective, user perspective in Eclipse tool. And there is a media location for under application. You paste that application under media and save. Basically, click on the theme and save changes to servers. That application is basically placed on the media directory of your target runtime environment. And in order to deploy your application, all your options during the deployment of application are stored in the property file. We call it the plan.fc.property or any application.property file. And we are running this job called deploy app, actually. So this is a dynamic action I'm calling, which is deploying the app. So I haven't created any steps in the project. I'm calling install app and OWASP common deploy app install and running in execute mode. So right now you see there is no app name here. I'm dragging and dropping the app name, and that the command is auto-generated with the app name called WebSandWebSphere actually. And the OWASP common deploy install app is auto-generated. The idea here is you don't have to create hand code your command. It is auto generated, and I'm just deploying the app by clicking on the green tab button, the play button, and in a minute it will basically start the deployment. And on the right bottom corner, you can see the list of jobs. The job is waiting, and the job is just deploying the app actually. So we'll wait for a minute, or probably a couple of minutes, or just a few minutes, and the application will be deployed. So that's the whole dev and ops kind of scenario. And I switch back to the management console again just to show you the status of the job or the progress of the job, actually. So these are so right now the job is running in the dynamic action. We call the OWASP common deploy install app. So before that, we are locking the environment, so any configuration change is not basically overwritten. So we do the lock and unlock the after. So you can see all the job steps are passed, which means the deployment went successfully. We can validate by checking the logs if the application is deployed or not. So right now, I'm back to my Eclipse UI interface. And I'm just basically wanted to show you the logs, actually, part of the deployment. And these deployment logs will be same as you do from the management console or the admin console. Whatever the logs are printed out there, if you can also see that log onto the workspace here in our RAS client Eclipse interface. So you can see here the script is connected to deployment manager, and since there is no application plans or SPR does not exist on the server, it will try to install the application. And you can see if you have deployed the application, you might are familiar with the app deployment process, and this is how. So we are basically calling under the covers AWS admin. The actions we are doing is combination of AND, AWS admin, JSON, or Jackal. These are the under the covers, basically scripts we are calling. So you can see the application plans by WebSphere installed successfully, and it also synchronizes the nodes. You don't have to hit a manual synchronization. Some of the actions which are available in the execute those actions, the sync node is also part of that. And as you can see, the build is successful, and the application is installed. And I didn't do the start of the application part of my task, but out of my bad habit of starting the application from the console, I'll just do that actually. So validating again, logging on to the server here or to the WebSphere environment using the admin console, and application servers, applications. And you see the plans of your application is installed. It's not started, but I'm starting it again. We would have also automated this one too, but I just showed you the app deployment. So the application is started, plans of Earthsphere, and I'll try to access the application. So the application is accessible from by directly accessing the application from the App Store. So that's pretty much it. That's our application deployment scenario. That's all we have for the demo. And Joseph, can we let me stop sharing it? Can you also bring up the summary slide? Again, in this talk, all what we did is automated middleware environment, product installation, patching, configuration management, and application deployment. We're doing it in a reliable, consistent, and repeatable manner, and you can accelerate time to value of your upset environment, reduce any human error which you do, or if you're trying to do a repeated task over and over again, if you wanted to use RAF to be able to create one template or one action, you don't have to, or you can schedule those jobs. You don't have to basically be up all night to be able to run the jobs. You can just schedule the jobs off hours, and you can check the status if you want to. And you can do an email notification, and once the job is completed, the email is sent out to the user, whoever are in the group, and it will give you the status of the job which ran. It reduces human error and automates all of your WebSphere or non-WebSphere integration and tasks, and also improves the disaster recovery readiness, which means that if you want to apply your golden configuration, let's say if your topology or WebSphere configuration has got corrupted, you can overlay the configuration with your golden configuration again. So that's the whole key value of Rational Automation Framework. You know, installation, there are a couple of tools available. You can write your own custom script for installation too. But the real key value of using RAF is configuration management. In app deployment, I know you might have some scripts available for doing the automation for deployment, but there are no tools available right now which can do the configuration automation and with added advantage of automation deployment, of installation, or app deployment. So that's all I have for the demo and the overview of Rational Automation Framework. And Joseph, if we can open the lines for the questions.
Thank you, Anujay, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
We have no questions on the phone.
I see a couple of questions in the group chat, so I'm going to announce them over right now. So the first question here we have is from Dan. When will RAF support WAS version 8?
WAS 8 is in the testing phase right now. RAF will soon support WAS 8, probably as soon will be end of the last quarter this year or early first quarter, actually.
Thank you, Anujay. The second question here is from Tom. And his question is, if the WAS environment was installed as root user and your developers are using this for Windows, my question is, will they have to have root access or can this be installed as another user?
This can be installed as another user, but your developer needs not to have a root access, actually. But you can give your developers, we have a role-based security. You can, if you just don't want to give the whole environment of configuration to be able to take in view, you can just restrict their access to able to execute those automation plan, or you can just modify some of the resources, but it is limited to the developer. But you can also do a non-root user as well. You don't have to be root. I hope that answers your question.
All right, the next question we have here is from Suhair, and his question is, to avoid any accidental changes from occurring, does RAF have a confirmation step before the changes are propagated?
Yes, actually. You can do a validation. You can preview more before executing that step, and it will validate. And if there are any inverter accidental changes, like I was showing you earlier, you can lock the environment of the WebSphere environment, so anyone accessing the same environment or in making any change, those changes will not be occurred or propagated unless the environment is unlocked, actually. So that way you can be able to make sure that the user who's making the change is doing a one-time change and cannot conflict with the other changes, actually. And you can, yes, you can write another confirmation or validation step part of the automation plan.
All right, moving on to the next question here. What kind of roles can be set up for RAF for different users?
There are, out of the box, there are multiple roles available, field engineers, employers, and security manager or guest and operator roles. Based on operator role is same as what we do in WebSphere, which can operator can just start and stop any of the actions. In the same way, if you have a security manager, you can define the roles and you provide the roles to the users, actually. But if you are a building engineer and a security manager, that is kind of a super role or an administrative role, actually. I hope that answers your question first.
And the last question we have here is from James. His question is, when will RAF support WebSphere Process Server version 7?
Process Server version 7 is still, again, in the same testing phase right now. Probably it will be same time during when we support Sphere 8, end of this quarter or early first quarter. But the support for Process Server is coming soon. There was another question from Naresh, and do you need to import everything to compare the cell in the workspace? The answer is yes. You have to import the configuration. If you are doing a comparison of two cell-to-cell comparison, you need to import the configuration.
Perfect. Thank you, Anujay. And since we don't have any more questions in the group chat, we are going to conclude the presentation.